You are listening to Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you in your journey to stay pure online. Today we will be listening to part of a conversation I had with best-selling author and international speaker Gary Thomas. Gary is the author of 11 books and over 150 articles published in major magazines. He is a regular speaker at conferences, retreats, college campuses, and has helped thousands of married couples through his popular Sacred Marriage seminars. He holds an honorary Doctor of Divinity from Western Seminary and a master's degree from Regent College in Vancouver, where he studied under Dr. J.I. Packer. Gary will share with us about his latest release, Pure Pleasure. In an effort to reject sinful pleasure, Christians can easily reject pleasure in general. Today, Gary will talk about how his new book encourages Christians to pursue God-given pleasures in a God-pleasing way, and how this pursuit helps us fight temptation.
I want to embrace every good gift that's from above, but also, with abhorrence, reject every distortion or pollution of that gift. Sin is the enemy of pleasure. I do think that when we completely reject pleasure, as we sort of have in the past, we're letting go of a very powerful tool to help build lives of worship, relationship, and fighting sin. It's better to be intentional about pleasure, because then I can pick the best pleasures.
For a lot of Christians, for a lot of people who were raised in around the church or in a church environment, the equation of God with pleasure can sometimes seem a little bizarre, a little strange. The devil is not the inventor of pleasure. God is. And
right.
When we really capitalize on that, when we understand that, and I believe you say it in your book, is the world is not just a prostitute. The world is also a mother. The world is not just the temptress, which of course the world has tempting things in it, but the world was designed by God to nurture our faith and to point us to God, who is the supreme author of pleasure. Talk about how the Bible shows God to be a God of pleasure.
Well, it begins in the book of Genesis when God created the earth and said, it's good. I think God created this as a place for us to enjoy. And then he gave those pleasures to Adam and Eve, specifically speaking to Adam, saying, I want you to enjoy these. I'm giving you this for your pleasure, for your enjoyment. Rule over this world. Enjoy the bounty of it. It's yours. I think when you go on in other scriptures, the Bible talks about how God goes beyond meeting our needs to providing blessings. And throughout Proverbs and the Psalms, it talks about the bountiful abundance. You see that in the Song of Songs, it celebrates and elevates the sexual relationship between a husband and a wife as a good gift. And Paul would celebrate sexuality as a something within marriage that helps us against immoral sexual temptation. We're told that heaven is a place of pleasures forevermore. So if God is against pleasure, why is his motivation to us to follow him and to enjoy a place that will be unparalleled pleasure throughout eternity? I mean, I could go on and on, but
sure.
I think it's woven through the Old and New Testament. And what I found from study, experience, and watching others is that sin is the enemy of pleasure. Talk to a drug addict. How happy are they? Talk to an alcoholic. How much joy is there in an alcoholic's life? If you're in fairly decent shape and you exercise, you can occasionally have a feast. If you've become a glutton where food runs your life, a feast could be a really problematic thing for you. So in so many ways, I think sin destroys true pleasure.
Gary, why did you write this book?
There are three things that this whole concept of accepting pleasure as something good did for me. It built in me a much stronger heart of worship. I found occasions to be moved toward worship throughout the day, when I didn't view worship as only a response to a religious activity, but as James would say, embracing that every good gift is from above, from the Father. Secondly, I think it gave me great help in building, enriching relationships. I think marriages break down when husbands and wives stop enjoying each other, when parents and children become utilitarian in their relationships. And parents see the kids as projects, and kids see the parents as ATM machines and taxi drivers. They stop spending pleasurable times together. That relationship becomes strained. And third, I found it a big help in sin management. You know, I am a guy who travels a lot on the road, because I could be completely obedient on the road and miserable because I felt like I was fighting temptation the whole time anyway.
Right.
But when I could embrace the good things that God provides, when I would think intentionally about what's a healthy, appropriate, soul-building pleasure, then, to be quite honest, past issues that just didn't even come to mind. It wasn't that I was overcoming temptation. It's that the temptation never flared up like it used to.
This is something you said that really caught my attention. If our decision to embrace pleasure focuses on giving pleasure to God, then what gives us pleasure will ultimately reveal our spiritual maturity and the depth of our relationship with Him. This was really kind of a key concept for me as I was reading through the book. What does that mean, giving pleasure to God, and how does that reciprocate in for us receiving pleasure?
Since you're calling from Covenant Eyes, I mean, let's make it specific to the issues that a lot of guys would be reading that blog with. I believe that God created sex as an incredible gift that I can give to my wife, that by God's design, as her husband, I can touch her in ways and in places and make her feel things that no one else can ever make her feel. That gives me an incredible opportunity as her husband to give the gift of sexual pleasure to my wife. Then I realize that God doesn't turn his eyes when a married couple goes to bed. It's not shameful to him. That he takes pleasure in our pleasure, and even more, that when I pleasure my wife appropriately, I believe I'm giving pleasure to God. She's his daughter. He knows what a sexual relationship can do between a husband and a wife, how it can knit our souls together, how it can stabilize our family. That I think literally by giving pleasure to my wife, even sexual pleasure, I can be pleasuring God at the same time. Now, any sexual experience apart from marriage offends God. It hurts God. So I want to embrace every good gift that's from above, but also with abhorrence reject every distortion or pollution of that gift. It's the same way. Enjoy meals, but don't become a glutton. Enjoy using my gifts in work, but don't become a workaholic. If I enjoy sexual intimacy, enjoy it in the way that God designed it to be enjoyed within the confines of marriage. The best way to thank a giver is to enjoy the gift. And when I could accept this earth not just as a prostitute, but as a nurturing mother, I realized how many times did God want to give me a gift, and I got all religious on him and withheld pleasure from him because I couldn't freely embrace what he wanted me to receive. And when we don't do that, that's what I think sets men up for the issue that you guys are trying to address through accountability, and very appropriately so. They become so thirsty, it's almost inevitable that they're going to try to find a way to fall. I do think that when we completely reject pleasure, as we sort of have in the past, we're letting go of a very powerful tool to help build lives of worship, relationship, and fighting sin.
You've also mentioned Paul's advice about how sexual pleasure is a way to restrain sensual indulgence. What would you say to the single guy or gal who would be listening to this that says, well, yeah, that's all fine for the married folk, but what about me?
Yeah. Well, I think if somebody is single and they know they're not called to celibacy, then the sexual frustration they feel is a call for them to become intentional about getting married, to put themselves in a place where they can meet marriageable people, to build lives that make them attractive to people who want to marry them, financially, responsibly, spiritually, physically. And secondly, I think to realize that one of the worst things you can bring into a marriage is sexual sin. What that will do to your marriage is, as you guys have more testimonies too, I mean, I would say to singles, you know, guard your purity, because the more you do, you're basically also guarding years of pleasure. And And that goes mentally as well as physically in this day and age for my son's generation. That's the big challenge, because pornography is almost universal with the
right.
internet.
Yeah.
It's just changed mm-hmm. the landscape for a Christian man. I think the strength then of a ministry like Covenant Eyes is that for somebody that has gone beyond the boundaries, it forces them to learn how to deal without the sin so that they can embrace the positive. It makes it easier for them to say no, so that instead of just falling back on that crutch that's so destructive, they have a buddy around them that's going to look over their shoulders. They say, okay, I really want to take this out of my life so that I can fully grasp this good pleasure that God has given me. I think earlier in my life, I was nervous about being conscious and intentional about pursuing pleasure, but I realize it's better to be intentional about pleasure, because then I can pick the best pleasures. And again, that's the tool of Covenant Eyes, is I think it helps people pick superior pleasures, saying you need to make yourself say no to this, because when you give into this, you're shutting your eyes to what God wants you to experience, something that will build up your life rather than destroy it, something that will serve your soul rather than contract or warp or destroy your soul.
You can read Pure Pleasure for free on GaryThomas.com. Go there and download the free ebook. You can also order Gary's other books, such as Sacred Marriage, Sacred Parenting, Seeking the Face of God, and others. Thank you for listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. Listen to more podcasts on iTunes or the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.